A special shout out to our sponsors,
the Trust Restaurant Group of San Diego. We're now fully open for business. We're ready to serve you at our flagship restaurant, Trust, Rare Society, Cardellino, and Fort Oak. Executive chef and co-owner Brad Wise wants to share his love of good eats with our San Diego community. Chef Brad uses locally sourced ingredients that change with the season. Trust staff's aim is to provide their patrons with great food, cocktails, wine, and service. We invite you to come to any of our fine restaurants for a meal of a lifetime. In good food, we trust.
Product of Rugby, the official workout t-shirt for the American rugby player. You can help the Product of Rugby charity. With every item sold, $5 goes to Feed the American Children. The San Diego Legion presents the Quick Tap Rugby Podcast with your hosts, CJ Johnson, San Diego Legion's own Nate Augsburger, and celebrity chef Rock.
Welcome back to another episode of Quick Tap Rugby Ally Podcast. I'm your host, CJ. Like always, joined by my favorite rugby player.
It better be.
My favorite rugby player, US San Diego Legion, San Diego Legion star, MLL star, and a US Eagles player. My main man, Nate. How you doing, my brother?
Yeah, doing well, CJ. I better be your favorite rugby player, dang it.
Yeah, I corrected you, my brother. I apologize. And like always, as much as we don't want him to, but he's always joining us, host of the Chef Rock Show, celebrity chef. Chef Rock, what's up, my brother? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How we doing? Chef?
Good,
Nate,
good.
Always a pleasure, CJ.
Yes.
Good to see your face.
Good to have you on the sideline. It was good to have you at the game this past weekend.
That was a great game. I'll have to tell you. I mean, I was sad that you guys lost, but that was one heck of a game.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is not have you go to the game because we don't
want you to the bad luck charm.
You see how you guys are.
So, Chef Rock, tell me how you feeling, man, because I know you're still recovering from your surgery. Just briefly, don't get too deep in detail.
Look at this. I can lift my arm this high with pain, but at least I can lift. You know, that rotator cuff, man, takes freaking forever to heal. But yeah. I've been working out. I've been doing my walks. I try to lose some weight and work the shoulder back in so I can get that saute pan so I can flip it without grimacing.
Wow.
Man. Speaking of saute pan, guys, I want to introduce you guys to our latest sponsor, the Trust Restaurant Group of San Diego. You know, they're an incredible collection of several restaurants in the San Diego area. Some of my favorites are the Trust Restaurant in Hillcrest. We got Fork Oak in Mission Hills, Cardellino's Restaurant, which is a bakery, a bottle shop, and ice creamery. And I heard one of our friends here loves ice cream. Is that true, Nate?
Yes, sir. I like the red velvet, which is the San Diego Legion ice cream, baby.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Now, the executive chef there, Brad Wise, is incredible. I mean, this guy is creating recipes for several different restaurants throughout San Diego, which is pretty incredible and hard to do. And I can't wait to like eat at each one of these places. And, when COVID over, everyone should be going. I think, we should all go as a team.
Yeah.
Culinary team.
I thought you were trying to lose weight. So if you can go, there, you better have a salad or something. You can't be going.
They look like they got great salad.
You can't go to eat a bunch of ice cream, brother.
No, I'm only tasting. I'm just a little bit.
Gotcha.
Anyway, now that COVID's over, everyone should head out to these restaurants and support San Diego and their restaurant tours.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Welcome, Trust Restaurant Group. We love you, baby.
Yes.
Welcome to him. So Nate, man, give me the latest update on you, brother. How you feeling? What's your status? Where are you at? Give us real quick before we introduce our first guest.
I'm doing good, CJ. I'm doing good. I said it last week. I'm kind of day to day at this point. And so it'd be great to run out at Torero this weekend. We'll see if it happens. So I'm hanging tight, staying reserve, keeping all my faculties together. But the training's going well, and to say the least, I'll be excited if I can put on the jersey with the boys.
When do they let you know?
Saturday. Well, for me, I have a particular doctor's visit tomorrow.
Okay.
That'll be a bit telling. So I'm just kind of fingers crossed, holding out hope. You guys know me.
Yeah.
All year, I've just been keeping faith that you know, God's going to help me with the healing process. I stay professional enough. I can at least put myself in a position to hopefully get a game, squeeze a game out of the season. So
nice. Just
staying even keel, baby. That's it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
We're hoping for that, Nate. We really are.
Thanks, guys.
Get you out there, baby.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to get in the scrap. And somebody I'd love to bring to the scrap with me anytime. I'll introduce our guests right now. We have San Diego Legion hooker and USA Eagles, Eagle number 505, Peter Malcolm is joining us today. What's up, Pete?
What's up, Pete?
How's it going, guys? Really happy to be here.
I say Eagle 505 because you know what? I was rugby wrap up. I was with the USA team and Matt McCarthy was like, tried to put me on the spot. Like I was going to forget my Eagle number. He said, what does number 491 mean to you? And I was like, that's my Eagle number. McCarthy, stop playing with me.
There's one number I'm not forgetting the rest of my life. It's my Eagle number. I'm thinking about getting it tatted on me after I retire.
Yeah.
Hey, we take a lot of honor in the jersey. So Pete, I'll just start us off, man, give you the floor. What keeps you in the fight this season? What's really motivating you these days?
So the biggest thing that motivates me and the biggest thing that will always motivate me when I'm playing rugby is I want to get back to playing for my country. So from 2017 through 2018, I played in every Eagles game except for one. I missed one for a hamstring tear, on the June test in 2017. And then in 2018, I blew out my ACL, in both sides of my meniscus in my left knee. And my motivation since then has been, you know, to get back to playing as well as I was when I was playing for the Eagles and get back and get that jersey back. You know, Nate, obviously you've worn the jersey even more times than I have. And it's truly one of the most special feelings in the world. And it's something that's really personal to me. Like my dad's dream for a long time was to be an Eagle and he never quite made it. So when I wear that jersey, I really feel like I get to wear it for both of us. And it really is, you know, the thing I'm chasing right now.
I think that's awesome. One of the best parts about being on Legion is ever since I've been here, we've taken an approach where we're going to train at a world-class level. We've had USA Eagles, we've had Canadian internationals on our team in the past. And it's always nice to know, all right, even though I'm playing professional level most of the year, I'm training and preparing myself as good as I need to be for the world-class level, because believe it or not all teams are set up to provide that. So we've been pretty fortunate, and it's, you know, we got guys like Peter Malcolm, Chris Bowman, you know, Dylan has been injured, but is a guy who'd definitely be in the mix. We're very lucky at Legion to have some quality guys and guys that are vying for things that are also outside of playing for Legion, you know?
So playing for the Eagles, and are you, what's your, okay, let me start by, let me get back to the season right now, San Diego Legion season. You just came off a loss this past week, a tough, close loss. Where do you feel you are as a team for the remaining of the season, and how are you feeling motivated for that? And what do you have to do, you think, personally, to get over the hump for the next couple of remaining games of the season?
So obviously we're not quite where we need to be. There are some things, like especially our exiting. We don't get out of our own half very well. Those things need to be cleaned up. We're not, it's kind of the whole season has felt like this, is we're not that far off, you know, yeah. Like even when we weren't playing very well in the beginning of the season, we were losing by a try, like 3 points. And then that's been the case the last 2 weeks as well, is we're not just, it's just the small things, the little details that we're not getting correct. So we do now have a really high quality defense that we can build our game around. But it's just the small details, specifically our exiting, that is just—it's just not there at the moment. And it is something that, like, no, if you want to be a good rugby team, you have to be able to get out of your half. And we just aren't. We play way too much rugby in our half at the moment.
Does everybody know that, or is it something the coaches are telling you, or
I mean, it's something that's talked about every week, because every week we've had, you know, one or two unsuccessful exits that cost us a try. So it is something we address, and it's something we've worked on a training again this week. And there's sometimes just things in the season that you just don't quite get right. And we just haven't quite got that right yet, but I think we will get it right this week.
Yeah, I was at the game, and there was a couple of situations that I thought, oh, you know, maybe guys, it's so unpredictable, the game, to me, unlike football, where, you know, okay, hey, you're going this way, you're going that way, and if you get the ball, run. You know, with you guys, you don't know if you're going to get the ball. I mean, it's so exciting to watch. But I think the one turning point was when that guy gave the head juke and then ran for like 30 yards. It was near the end of the game, and when they actually got the try. And yeah. And I don't know if you guys were just a little tired or just or whatever, but, you know, I went, oh, my God, if they tackled them then, they wouldn't have got the try, you guys would have won. But that's the game, though, right? Isn't it a game of not just inches, but getting it down there? And, so I was excited that you guys played so hard. And I could always tell when you guys play hard when there's like six guys in slings after the game. And ice packs. I mean, you know, it was Nate, when you were after the game, when we were doing those interviews, I was talking with Dylan for a little bit. And, you know, he'd go in there with a cast on his foot, that guy. You know, he was all ready. But there was another guy, I don't know what his name was, but he had like blood just running down the side of his face after the game up top. Like Dracula, you know.
That was something.
Yeah. And I go, man, what a tough mother, you know? I mean, these guys, you guys are tough. I have to say, I, you know, just watching the game, I have injuries. Just
It's a brutal game. I love the point that you touched on, though, Shep, is that, like, in football, you know, you kind of have your one job and you just do it.
Right.
And in rugby, it's just not a black and white sport that often. Actually, like, a lot of coaches – and a lot of good coaches find a way to make it simple for the players so that it becomes a bit easier, you know? So it is, as you know, we're communicating some of the plays on the fly. Like at one point, if we're around our own halfway, and let's say we have the ball and we play for a few times, but we're not going there, in the middle of that set, we have to now reorganize to kick the ball away and to get it in the other team's half, because we would just prefer not to make the mistake in our own zone, but kick it back to them and see if they're going to give us a better opportunity, or maybe they make the mistake. So then, you know, you think about that and you're like, gosh, these guys really do have to do a lot of communicating. And, you know, when the communication, even if it's just one person, there's a few guys who are more important than others, but, Pete could tell you, man, as forwards, as long as you got some dudes talking to you and letting you know what's happening, and it breeds a lot of confidence throughout the squad. It really does. It changes.
You're right. You're right. You know, Pete, I was going to mention that I was down front for the game, and that's when you can hear everything. A little further up, I can't hear you guys talking. Down there, I mean, you guys are communicating with each other. You know, I mean, it's pretty incredible.
It's not just those big organizational things that Nate is talking about, like if we're going to kick or not. It's the little conversations that you have between, like, the two guys on either side of you in the defensive line. They really make a difference. Like, that's really when you get up to the high level, that's the thing that you have to be good at. Is you have to be a good communicator, not just with the entire team, but with those little people that are just right next to you that are going to affect the next thing that happens. Being on the same page with those people on the defensive line, like saying that, I have the ball carrier, I have the person outside of him, that makes a huge difference, is just and just staying connected as a team.
How do you stay focused when you have you started off slow at the beginning of the season, then you went on a little small winning streak, and then you lost two in a row, but two tight games, and then how do you stay focused to put a little extra effort in, you know, as a player?
So I try not to look at it as putting in extra effort. I try to look at it as do the same thing. You want to be doing the same thing every week. You want to be executing the same, like the same process every week. Because if you just look at it as, oh, just this week, I'm going to put in a little bit extra effort, then what are you doing all the other weeks? Why are all the other weeks not as important as this one?
Right.
You know? So I try and look at it as, you know, these are the things that have to be done for me to play well on the weekend. Like, I have to do, you know, a couple of yoga sessions. I have to, like, do some heavy legs early in the week to make my legs and especially my knees feel good. They're just like, it's checking off those boxes. So I tried, like, not like we're professionals. Like, you should be able to come up with a motivation to play every week. Like, this is the one of the best jobs you can have in the world. It's fun. Like, that's my motivation right now, is it's just enjoyable to go out and play rugby, and the rest of the week it should take care of itself, you know?
So you play for the joy. You play for the joy and the pain. Because it looks to me painful sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna lie to you. It looks painful. You know what I mean?
But
you
play for the joy. Yeah. It is, but it's something you gotta come to terms with if you're gonna do this as a career, is like the pain is part of it. You gotta get used to it. I mean, Nate and I specifically can tell you a lot about that. Like, we still love this game, and we've both been in a lot of pain because of it. You know, Nate's done, you know, a lot of the calf stuff, fractures, some bad surgeries. I've done, you know, all of my knee. I've had some nerve damage and stuff in my neck that I had to deal with, and we still love this game. You know, that's why we're still here.
Yeah. We keep coming back, man. We keep coming back. And I always think about Zach, our coach, Zach Tess, you know, like his rugby career stopped in a glimpse of a blink of an eye. You know, he got a head contact, and unfortunately that was the last game he ever played in. I was actually playing in that game. Pete, you probably were, I think you were as well. So I always keep that in the back of my mind when it's like, all right, you know, yeah, we're out a little bit this season, but damn it, if I get one chance to get back out there and just express myself and enjoy it, then, you know, this is how hard and this is the type of effort I'm willing to put in to try and do it.
Doesn't matter what the score says, is that you're still putting 110% in no matter what. And you're sacrificing your body for the sake of the team and the love of the game. You know, that's commendable, man. I like people, especially not millionaire athletes. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Do it humbly.
No, I'm not putting my kids through college right now. I'm just loving this. That's it.
He's one of the more disciplined guys, if you can't tell, you know, to come back from some of the injuries he's had, his approach all season. He's right. I mean, he's not sugarcoating it or anything. The guy gets up, he does his work. You know, that's how you build trust. I know that guy is going to be here and go at 110 miles per hour.
So Nate, I ask you this question. Seeing guys like Peter go in the gym and do that and do a day in and day out, put the effort in, does that motivate you? And Peter asked you the same question. Watching some guys like Nate, or is there someone else on the team that you look at and you say, man, that guy's putting in the work, so I'm going to put in more work. You know what I'm saying? You have that. It's a question for the both of you. Doesn't matter who goes first.
I'll go first, Pete, just because I got someone in mind. Our team manager, he actually has a you know, pretty significant background. You guys would have to look him up. But long story short, he asked me maybe like 4 or 5 weeks ago. And he's just like, I just woke up. I mean, I've just been waking up every day. I've just been saying in my head, like, who's motivating me? Who on the team's motivating me right now? You know? And when he said that he was doing that, and he kind of asked me, I was just like, oh man. Yeah. Like, who is that guy on the team that I'm getting up for, that I want to be on time. And you know, every team should have, you should have a few guys. I mean, if you're lucky, you should have a bunch of them. And I'm pretty lucky that I have a bunch of them. You know, Ryan Mattias is one of those guys. You know, he's there, he's consistent. He wants the best for the team. Like, I'm relying on that dude, you know, but no different. You know, I want to be there and be prepared for the coaches. I want to be there and be prepared so I can help the team win. So I think Ryan's somebody I definitely wake up for. OT, Kenny, you know, some of these guys that I'm just like, man, you know, because I know they're waking up. They're doing the same thing for me.
Yeah. So just on the back of what Nate said, certainly Ryan Mattias is an inspiring man just to watch work. Like, there's not a lot of guys who you finish a really tough session who then runs like 1500 meter sprints. Like, I've really only met the one, and it was Ryan Mattias. So like, wow. If anything's going to inspire you to stay after training and do some extra work, it's watching that man work like a dog every single day. The other people who really inspire me, who I really like, and you also just love to see the development, is so like Nate Sylvia, who is like born and bred, like San Diego kid, went to Cal Poly, and you know, he came here, got his chance in the first year and took his chance, and the improvement and the amount that he cares about this club is something that, like, I'll never get tired of being around. You know, he's one of my best friends on the team, and he's my usual lifting partner, and just a man who every single day wants the best for this club, wants to put the most effort in. Like the consistent people like that, Ryan and Nate, that's who I love to be around. That's who motivates me to keep doing what I'm doing and keep putting the work in.
Well, guys, it's very impressive to me when I watch the game and one of your guys gets knocked down, and then you go and you go right up in that guy's face and knock him down, maybe in a bad way. I always see that even after the game, you guys are talking to the other teams, you're hugging, you're hanging, just that camaraderie and respect for each other is very different than other sports. You know, I mean, quick story. I got to tell you, CJ, do I have time for a quick story?
Yes.
It's really a quick story.
Peter, hold on. Peter, this is the time we give Chef Rock.
Well, this is actually, you know, it kind of relates to sports, CJ.
But it's still called the Chef Rock Stories. We got to let him do it, because if not, he cries like a little baby.
Go to work, Chef.
I want the Chef story.
Thanks, Pete. So anyway, you know, my cousin is Eric Mangini, the NFL coach, right? So when he left after he won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots as defensive coordinator, he goes over to the Jets. First year, they make it to the playoffs. They're like 14-5 or something like that, and then they lose. But the next year, they brought on Brett Favre. Everybody thought, all right, we're all set. Well, that guy was a bit, from what I heard, I'm not going to say who, he was a real prima donna. He didn't talk with the line at all. He didn't hang out with the line. He was always on his phone, had a private, like his own little locker room, didn't hang out with the guys at all. And if you notice, that year, I don't remember what it was, but he got his butt kicked. And I swear the line let those guys through. And
this is an unsanctioned part of Chef Rock Stories. We do not promote this part of the story.
No. All you have to do is go back and watch the film. And that line that he never bonded with, they let guys through. And he got hit more times that year than he did all season put together. And my point is that, you know what, if you don't bond with your teammates – and look after each other, which I see on the field all the time. You guys are always like, guy gets knocked down, and next thing you know, you're in that guy's face. Like, what the hell did you push him from behind for? You know, it's like, and I love to see that. You know, and it's that brotherhood. And I don't see that in a lot of sports now. There's no loyalty or anything like that. Rugby can be the next standard for that, you know, brotherly love stuff, which I really enjoy in a game. So pretty cool. Kudos to you guys. Kudos, baby.
That concludes our
show. Oh, that's not the end of the show.
That concludes our Chef Rock story segment. Again, we did not endorse that story.
Which is fine. I'll take all the heat, brother.
Chef, you made it. You make a really valid point. We do talk as a team a lot about like staying connected, you know, like it's a big point of emphasis for us to greet each other in the morning. Or when you first show up to check in to work, whether it's at the training field or at the headquarters, you know, it's important, because by going and just saying good morning, like that connects you to a teammate, that opens the line of communication, that allows us to know, like when Pete says, guys, we're not exiting well, it's not a chop at me who's supposed to be driving the exiting, but it's that the team needs to be in a better place. Mm-hmm. And I know that, because me and Pete are on the same wave, and that's super important. And it's an understatement to know how powerful that can be in a team environment when it comes to belief, you know, like you said, like hard work, putting in a serious grind for each other. That stuff totally matters, you know?
Nice. That's good.
Pete, what do you look forward to when the season's over? And besides, your plan is to play for US Eagles or play for the Olympics?
So not the Olympics. No more sevens for me.
Although fun fact, Peter was in the photo of the 40-man roster for the first Olympics.
Pete, nice. Martin,
you heard it.
40th out of 40.
But you're in the photo.
But I'm in the photo. That's
right.
It wasn't
a photo,
that's
Bob.
All that
you
matters.
Were actually
I made
invited
the photo.
Into the photo.
He was there.
We didn't make the photo.
So obviously I would love to be pushing for an Eagles spot. And if I'm not, I have, I think, 5 weddings to go to in the next 3 months. So I'm sure that I'll have plenty of stuff to do, including my own wedding.
Congrats.
Yeah, my own wedding is November 4th, and I've got a wedding the week – I was supposed to go to a wedding the week before that I obviously can't go to because my soon-to-be wife would kill me. Right. And then my cousin has his wedding the week after in Tulum, Mexico.
Oh.
And nice. Yeah, which will be fun. And then I've got, I think, a couple of college weddings. Nate Sylvia's wedding will be a little bit before that in September. So, I mean, I don't really think I have any more time for many more plans than that, man. That's quite enough traveling for me in the off season.
Well, today is my wedding anniversary, 26 hey. Years. To my Happy beautiful wife, Janice.
Oh,
26 man. Years, baby. Somebody put up with me for that long. Wow.
We need to definitely send her a card and say, you know, we feel for her, but congratulations. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. I only put up with you for 30 minutes a week, and it's hard for us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So this is, hey, we'll give you the opportunity, Peter, man. While you get this opportunity to say something to you about your fiance, talk what she like, introduce us to her.
So the biggest thing, I think, one that attracted me to her in the beginning is she's just like I am. She's a really hard worker. She's an unbelievably intelligent human being. So just one of the conversations I started having her when I first met her. And then watching her work all the way through school. I mean, she got my degree that I got, the business degree, on the side of getting her actual degree, which is a literature degree.
Wow.
And so she did all the work that I did, plus an actual whole another degree that was much harder than mine. And then she went and got a master's when I was playing in Austin. And just like being with someone who is also, you know, really like driven to be good at what they do and driven, you know, to learn something new every day and like try new stuff. And it's just wonderful to be with someone like that, honestly, like someone who will push you and someone who's really supported my rugby career all the way through. Cause it's pretty easy as the spouse of a rugby player, I feel like, to be like, dude, what, why are you still doing this? Like,
yeah.
I watch you limp around every day. Like I know how you feel after every game. And she's really never done that to me. And it's just really been extremely supportive, especially during the time when I was very injured for a while. Like I had two or three major injuries happening at the same time. And I wouldn't have got through all that stuff without her. So now she's unbelievable.
And Megan is very good at baking.
Ah.
So man. Let's add those to that great list there, that great, what Pete just said, man.
That never hurts when they can cook.
It sounds like you made a good, wise, smart choice, and also a good business choice, because it sounds like she's going to make some money and do well for you.
Oh, she's about it, man. Oh, no. I got the business choice down as well as the emotional choice. All right. Yeah. She's about it. She's got it.
So, yeah.
You made a good decision. That's good.
While you limping around, she could be, you know, taking care of you. Dude. I appreciate
that's
it.
Right. That's right. That's right. I'm going to be awesome. In a much nicer house.
Yeah.
I'm with her.
I love it.
Listen, we're getting close to the end of this episode, this podcast. It's been great. You know, we find ourselves every week, Chef Rock and myself, not being rugby players, learning more and more about rugby from you guys and just researching you guys, like the word hooker, man. It just throws me for a loop when I hear it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He's not just a hooker. He's a 27-year-old hooker.
He's a proud hooker. So I find myself learning more, man. So again, you know, again, this is an opportunity for you to say something to people, to the community, to kids, to young people. You know, speak your truth. You know what I mean? We want to give every San Diego Legion an opportunity to speak their truth about the team, about themselves, about what they look forward to in the future. So take a couple of minutes, a minute to speak your truth, you know, and you know, if we don't agree with you, we'll cut you off.
So what I would say, I'm just going to keep it about rugby. And specifically speaking to any young people who would listen to this, whose goal is either to be a professional rugby player or just to be involved in rugby, is that like this is where all the opportunities I got to go and travel the world, to go. I've made friends, you know, all over the country, all over the world. You know, I can go to a couple places in Canada at least and cop a squat on somebody's couch if I want to. Getting to see, like, I got to go to Hong Kong when I was on USA U20s. And just the rugby culture has been so good for me, you know, as my, you know, my development as a person too. Like, something about being in a culture, which you guys talked about, that is so supportive. Like, it's such a, you know, basically a big family. Like, I know half the reason you see us dapping everybody up after the game is I know half the people on the field on the other team extremely well. Like, I've been on tours with them, I've been on teams with them, and that community is one of the most valuable things to me, has been, you know. And it didn't start when I started playing. Like, it started from the time I was born. My parents met at a rugby party. My godfather was my dad's prop from when he was playing lock for Chesapeake Rugby Club. All my uncles, like, I don't have I've got one real uncle, but I've got seven uncles, you know, and they're all my dad's, all my dad's best rugby buddies, all the guys that he did the same with me, who he really bonded with when he was young. And that community has been important to me from the day that I was born, you know. Like, those are the people that took care of me when I was a baby, when my parents needed a break, was my dad's rugby buddies. Yeah. So just this community is the most valuable thing about rugby. You know, I love the playing, I love all that, but the most is being involved in the rugby community has been the best part of, one of the best parts of my life.
That's awesome, man. And, you know,
man,
one of my experiences with doing this podcast is that I get an opportunity for young people to see that you don't have to aspire just to be a football player, basketball player, baseball player. You can play rugby. And now that it's being comes to a family thing, I think a lot of kids understand family. So it's a blessing to have you on the show, my man. It really is a blessing to learn from you, to listen from you. So, you know, I'm going to have to end the show. We're at our time. We always, this moment, we say, I'll give Nate an opportunity to say something real quick before we go, if you got something to say, and we'll do a quick tap out.
I'm all good, baby. It's Saturday night, Terrell Stadium, 7 p.m. We need the Legion Army there. So anybody who's available, anybody who wants some a good time, wants a quiet beer, maybe a loud beer is acceptable as well. We'll see you on Saturday night, Terrell Stadium.
All right. That's right. Quick go Legion.
Quick tap out.
Quick tap out,
baby.